A legend is born!
Woo! Baby! We are
holy smokes.
Dude.
What just happened today?
First off, let's just give a big thanks to him for strategically timing that finish. You know what I mean? Like, really appreciate that. The timing of when we record this podcast and what happened today is like chef's kiss. Holy smokes.
It couldn't have worked out any better.
No.
And we had this pre-planned to record at this time, you know, wow. We're talking about Cocodona 250, folks.
I'm assuming most people are going to like listen to the podcast on a run, probably Thursday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, something like that. I'm assuming. I really hope that they have been watching the live stream or like keeping up with it on. I know the way that I like to keep up with the race sometimes. It's just on their Instagram feed, because they do a great job of updating their Instagram feed with cool little reels and everything. You can watch real quick.
Dude.
Bonkers. Bonkers.
Speaking of updating Instagram feeds during the race, that's kind of a crazy concept to me, but Andrew Glaze has been like stringing together like these multi-segmented stories and like updating all the time. It's like, it's pretty impressive that he can do that. Like, I don't know.
It's the ability to stay like, I've been a fanboy of his for a little while now. Like, I remember finding him early.
You sent me a TikTok.
I don't know if I like this dude yet. And I'm like, I remember sending him to a couple other people like, hey, yo, douche or cool? You know what I mean? Like, where are we talking about right here? Like, where's this guy at?
Right.
And so it was like, oh, no, this guy, we were like, oh, no, wait, this is kind of cool. And so anyways, all this time of watching him, I think the thing that has always really kind of stuck out to me, and maybe this is something against me, or maybe it's something, his ability, when he's like, whew, really going through it, really in a hurt locker.
Yeah.
But he's still able to like be mentally present maybe he's not really in a hurt locker at that point, and maybe when he is, we're not seeing it on the Instagram. But I know when I'm in a hurt locker, there is no like, hey, really in a hurt locker here.
I know.
No. Like when
don't talk to me when I'm in the hurt locker. Just let me go out to pasture to die.
I am battling demons over here. Leave me alone. Yeah,
right?
Leave me alone.
Exactly. Oh,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
But let's break this down. And you know, the race is by far not over. Like only two people have finished. I don't think Arlen's finished yet. I'm gonna refresh the tracker here. Arlen still has about 4 miles, less than 4 miles to go. So
he'll be done by the time we finish this, probably.
Oh yeah, yep, for sure. It looks like, unless something really crazy happens, that he's gonna get third. But let's break down what we know so far.
Here's where we're at so far.
So the race started Monday morning, and the live stream also started Monday morning. And there was like, every time I would check in on the live stream throughout the day, it was always around 2,000 people watching. So I was just thinking to myself, that's 2,000 people not getting anything done at work. I tried myself to tune in and work at the same time. No bueno. I had to turn it off to get some work done in time. So Okay, so Monday starts, and their temperatures this year were not as crazy hot in that first 37-mile section as they normally are. You know, I think they had temperatures like in the 60s, maybe low 70s. So I think that really helped what we're about to reveal in a minute. So the temperatures were fairly mild. I mean, that sun is still going to be blazing. It's Arizona, for God's sake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did notice most of the runners were doing a good job of, like, covering themselves, you know, with big hats or those sun shirts. You know, I think that's the name of the game now, is just keep that sun off your skin. I've found that out myself. But anyway, so Joe McConaughey, String Bean was in the lead from the beginning, and he was doing really well, like all throughout Monday, he was in the lead. Well, when we woke up Tuesday morning, Jeff Browning had taken over the lead at night. So something happened throughout the night. We later find out this is what happened. Joe McConaughey, String Bean, he stops to take a break on the trail. I don't know if he took a dirt nap or what he did, but he stopped and took a break. And this is at night, right? So it's dark out. After his break, he gets up, continues on. Only problem is he was continuing on in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
He was going back the way he came.
So many moons ago. So first off, there's a couple of wild thoughts in my head. Is my first thought is this. How, like, I feel like he must have been at a trail intersection, right? And went not back, literally against the grain, because, like, how was he that far ahead of everybody that he didn't bump into, like, second plate? You know what I mean? Like,
no, he did,
and that's when he turned around. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he was 30 minutes ahead of Bronco,
and so
Billy.
he probably ran 15 minutes back that way, and Bronco's no. Like, 30, you know what I mean? Like,
30 minutes back, and then when he ran into, yeah, Bronco,
yeah.
He's like, oh crap,
yeah. Hey man, I think you're going the wrong way. Yeah. But here's what I was going to say, and this goes back to, like, I think, you know, yeah, when I did Tahoe 200, right, and like listen, even then, and like I don't know what I ran, like I think I ran it like the second or third year is in existence or something like that. I don't 100% know, but I remember then, like, Candace being pretty adamant at the pre-race about, do not take dirt naps. Don't effing do it. Get to your crew, get to an aid station, do it then. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as adamant as she was about don't do it, she also then talked out of her side of her mouth, like, but if you do, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, point your sticks. Like,
you got
have
it.
Your sticks. Point yep. the direction you're going to go.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And, like, she was like, ooh, right. But, like, I'm not, like, they must have said it 100 times. Don't take the dirt nap. Don't do it. Struggle until you get to the aid station. And, like, at Tahoe, they have, like, there's only certain aid stations you're even allowed to nap at Tahoe. And, yeah. and so she was like, don't effing do it. Oh, by the way, if you're going to do it, though, like, put yeah. the sticks in the way. And so it just sucks. Like, you feel really bad for String Bean. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
Such a dumb mistake. I don't even want to call it a dumb mistake. Yeah. Such an unfortunate mistake. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it really sucks.
Kind of one of those things that happens, and it's bad luck.
It's why we do it, though, right? It's why you don't
that is.
That's why you keep going, man. Like, to yeah. Bronco Billy, and, well, we're going to find out everyone else's credit. It's why you keep going. Like, you don't
that's
stop.
Right.
So
I've heard that as well, that if you're going to take a dirt nap, you point your poles, if you have them with you, whatever, in the direction that you're going. That makes a lot of sense. Or something, you know, some item, your water bottle,
like water. See, it'd be funny because like my dumbass would wake up and be like, wait, is it the part that's going in the dirt is pointing my way to where I should go? Or is like the handles? Like what like I know that I would be that tired. I'd have to be like, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. I'd have to like completely re-rationalize with myself. And then I even draw something in dirt. Wait, did I draw the way that I was supposed to go or the way I came from? Like, I'd be so confused. So, anyways, don't nap. If anyone on here is saying do a 200 or 100 or anything else, just don't nap until you get to an aid station. Just don't do it. It is high risk, high reward, though. I mean,
it is. I saw a couple people napping on the trail at Fat Dog. And, you know, at a race like Fat Dog, when, you know, you could be up against it with time, it's like if you don't set an alarm clock, you could like shoot yourself in the foot. I had to wake one guy up and he was mad that I woke him up. But I was like, dude, like,
I know where I'm at.
I finished with 5 minutes to spare and I don't remember him passing me at all. So,
I went down I'm not fast enough to nap during 100 milers, right? Like that's like I just can't.
Yeah, me neither.
I remember going down and pacing Steve Hanna's at Cruel Jewel.
Oh yeah.
Now Cruel Jewel, for you know all of us Beast Coast side folks, we all know damn well that is not a 100 miler, and it is insane. Like that race is a son of a bitch.
That's 33,000 feet of climbing in there.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts.
48 hour cutoff.
Yeah, but out there they have like a cabin. It's like a shelter thingamabobby, a pavilion, and they have a back room you can sleep in. Now, what sucks is that back room is right up against the kitchen in the aid station. It's loud as shit. And so I remember it was me, Steve was running it. Mike Smuts, whoever paced it with us with me. We had our own alarm clock set to make sure we went back and woke up Steve. Yeah. But even that one, though, I mean, like, you're right. You have got to have something set ready to go. But we digress. No, like, it really sucks for
strength. The most I've laid down in any race was it was 10 minutes at Fat Dog, and it was 10 minutes at Mohican.
Yeah.
10 minutes of laying down, like, and couldn't even go to sleep. You know, just laying there really helped. But anyways, let's get continue on with Cocodona here. So String Bean loses the lead Monday night. Bronco Billy is just in straight command after that. Like he just held the lead, and you know, like String Bean was within 3 miles of him at one point. And then String Bean kind of fell back. And then Geraldus Sobertus from Alaska, he keeps it within 3 to 5 miles of Jeff Browning for long time. And Arlen Glick is just maybe 2 miles behind Geraldus. Yeah. And it stayed that way for a long, long time. Well, at mile 200 to like 240 or something, like, I don't know, something like that. Geraldus makes up like 45 minutes of time on Bronco Billy. And he's literally within like a half mile when they get Bronco Billy's going up that Mount Eldon climb. And for those of you not familiar with Cocodona, it finishes in Flagstaff, and it's, you know, a total of 250 miles. And Mount Eldon is the last climb in the race. So, and it's steep going up that backside of Eldon. So it's a 1.5 mile climb with 1500 feet of gain. So it's 1,000 feet a mile. And Bronco Billy, Jeff Browning, he's going up that climb, and they have the live stream camera right behind them the whole climb. I mean, it was incredible. And here, you know, that Geraldus is he's hungry, man. He's like on the hunt, and he's just gaining little. Well, Jeff Browning got up to the top of that climb, got to the Mount Eldon aid station. He had 8 miles and a 2,000-foot descent to go to the finish. And he just put some Coke in his water bottles and, like, took off. And he was running out of there. And I'm like, oh, he's got this. Jeff Browning has got this. Like, the way he looked when he left out of the aid station, I'm like, he was, like, moving. And it was, like, maybe 15 minutes later when Geraldus got to that aid station. And I'm like, the way Jeff was moving, and, you know, there's a 15-minute gap here. Like, there's no way Geraldus is going to catch him. So then, and it is all downhill, man. And it's not technical at all. And 5 miles down that hill, they come out into this, like, park, and that's where the next cameras were. So nobody really knew what was going on in that 5 miles. And then they had, like, the drone shot at that park. And then there's a runner and his pacer. And at first the commentators were like, oh, that's Jeff Browning. That's his lean. That's, you know, that's his white shirt, whatever. And as the drone got closer, they were like, wait, what? No, it's Geraldus. It's Geraldus Severtus. Like, he must have been cooking on that downhill. I mean, he had to be laying down like 7.5 minute miles, dude, to catch Bronco. Had to.
Yeah.
And I guess, and we don't know what point he passed Jeff Browning, but he did pass him on that 5 mile stretch. And after Jeff got passed, he just started walking at that point. He was spent. He ran a dude. Let me back up. Jeff Browning trained. I mean, just watching his training on social media, I was like, oh my God, this guy is just killing it in his training on the course. So I had no doubt that I thought Jeff Browning was going to seal the deal, but no, Geraldus and Browning must not have slept hardly at all. He just ran out of steam. He just ran out of steam in that last stretch.
While we were recording a little while ago, I was checking out the Coconut Instagram feed, and it actually showed they had the video of Bronco walking in, and he looked like a bag of chewed up bubblegum, man. My dude.
And I he mean, was like, cooked.
I mean, like, that's wild, right? Like, yeah, we've both watched him. We've probably, like, the vast majority of people listening have probably watched him finish a boatload of races.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, yeah, he looks like a person who just ran 100 miles. I'm telling you, that man looked like another human being. Like, it looked like me walking across. You know what I mean? Like, he looked rough. But it goes like to what you're saying. Like, he was working his ass off. Because, like, you had mentioned that he held that lead for a really long time. I feel like I'd seen somewhere he'd got the lead at, like, mile 96 and held it all the way through. Like, he held it all the way from 96 all the way through the hundreds and didn't give it up until, like, 220-ish or something like that, I think. And that's when he finally got pulled in. And I could be wrong about that, but he got the lead.
Well, that's when Geraldus started closing the gap around 220.
And then probably caught him around 230, 240, right?
No, it was in the last, like, three, like a couple miles, like, four miles to go. It was like, it's nice. Like 244. Let's call it 246 is when he passed him.
by any wild chance, while we record, are you also watching the live chat, the live stream right now on YouTube?
No, I had turned it off to record.
I'm not gonna lie, I have it on right now. I'm watching on a monitor below. And it's just another great example of, like, watching, like, yeah, this is clearly an elite. And, like, they're just bebopping down this trail. And a dude, like, looked at the pacer. He was like, I need to walk with you. And I they just walk for like, I don't know, 10 feet. You're like, that's better. That's better. Okay, let's go back to talking. It's just funny to watch, like, elites. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's pretty cool watching. I wish I could tell who this is. It might be Arlen, but they're Arlen, up in his.
Yeah. He's in that park area now. He's
with the pines, with the tall pines and whatnot.
Yeah, so he's got like 2 miles to go.
Because like you can actually see. By the way, listen, I get it. You probably shouldn't let your race come to this close, but when I was watching, the guy who won, just named somebody. Anyways.
Heraldus.
As a matter of fact, Arlen's getting ready to come to it. They're having to come out. They're at an intersection. His trailhead drops off at a road.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being like the dead last person up against the clock and you're like, fucking traffic jam. Not gonna get across because of.
They have to follow the traffic laws too. Yeah, part of the rules. You get DQ'd if you don't follow the traffic laws.
Yeah, and so it's funny. Like you're watching these runners come to this road, and they're standing waiting for traffic. Like it would be heartbreaking to get a DNF because like, oh man, I hit a red light. What am I going to do? You know what I mean? Like it would suck.
Yeah. So So Heraldus passed Bronco Billy probably around mile 246. With 4 miles to go. And he went on to win. And not only did Heraldus win, he set the course record.
Yeah.
He actually finished sub 60 hour for 250 miles. I think it's like 37,000 feet of climbing or something in 250, which I mean, not like extremely crazy, but still, I mean, you know, yeah, some pretty technical sections. Sub 60, dude, for 250 mile. Like,
it's insane.
Pocadona. His course record, I believe, was like 9 hours better than the previous. Michael McKnight, actually, he had won last year and he was in this year, but I'm not sure why he wasn't one of the favorites to win. I believe he had the previous course record, if I'm not mistaken. I might be mistaken on that one. But anyways, yeah, course record. Jeff Browning's time, way better than the course record. Arlen Glick's time's going to be way better than the course record. Joel McConaughey, he's got 11 miles to go, string bean. So he's like starting that climb up Eldon right now.
Yep. Yep. He's got that big climb.
Yep. Whiskey man, Michael Versteeg, he's at 235. And then we need to talk about the women's race.
Holy smokes.
So the women's race, Rachel Entrekin, she was dominating early. She just held this lead. It was a steady lead, held it. At some point, I think last night, this is Wednesday right now, so it's probably Tuesday. At some point on Tuesday, Mika Tews, passed her and did not let up. Mika just went beast mode. She's still going beast mode.
Yeah.
She's at mile 227 and a half. She's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She's in sixth place overall.
Yeah,
she's well ahead of the next female.
I'm scrolling through, and I cannot find the next female. Find the next woman.
Manuela Velasca at 207.9. So,
yeah, well, I mean, like,
so she's 20 miles ahead of her.
Yeah, I mean, like, hours. She's 27 miles in front of her. So, yeah, I mean, we're probably looking at her. We're looking at Mika winning this by 2 hours, probably.
Yeah, and Mika, she'll likely come in under the previous men's course record, too.
And that's absolutely maddening.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think Mika does have previous 200 plus mile experience. I think she's done really well at 200 mile distance. I wanted to check out her ultra sign up actually. But yeah, so Mika just hasn't let up in the women's race. And she's passing dudes like crazy too.
Yeah, she's killing it.
Yeah, so assuming that nothing crazy goes wrong, she's in pretty good, she's in the driver's seat, we'll say that.
Dude, there is there's a couple Ohioans that are like, I mean, I know we keep talking about Arlen, but there is also a dude named Brian Pepe that's doing pretty well. He's pretty far into it. He's at mile 190. And then
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and then he's at 190. And then I know he's not an Ohioan anymore, but
Pete Kosselnick.
Troy Allen.
Oh,
is also. He's at mile 203 right now. Where is Pete at? Because Pete again also.
Pete was down. Pete was kind of with Andrew Glaze actually.
Just out there doing TikTok videos and whatnot, hanging out. Oh, here's Pete. I just found him.
Yeah, he's at 166.
Yeah. Yep.
And for those of you we talked about this in our last episode, but Pete was in a pretty serious car accident.
Yeah.
Was that last year?
Last year before, either right before or right after Hard Rock or Leadville, one or the other.
Yeah, and I didn't know the extent of it, but it didn't really sound good. Like, I thought maybe he wasn't even going to run again. So it's really awesome to see Pete in this race. Pete currently has the Transcon record. Like, he has a record for running across the United States, like 46 days, I think. And he's also ran from like Alaska to Key West and all this other stuff. So, and he used to live in Ohio for a minute. But yeah, and he's just a good guy. So it's good to see him out there. Did you hear about this Brody Chisholm?
No. Uh-uh.
17 years old.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I didn't recognize the name, but yes, actually said 17. I did, yeah.
And he's killing it, dude. He's at mile 202.6.
It's interesting, right? Like, I it's weird. I don't know. Like, maybe this is just some old man energy. At 17, should you – and I know he's a through hiker and all this kind of stuff. But it's a weird thing. Like, I don't know. Like, should you be running this kind of event at 17?
Because you're still growing.
I've heard things about growth plates not being done and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm aware of a 50K that you and I are kind of very familiar with. granted, it was a 17-year-old. I want to say it was a much younger kid. Like, it was maybe, I don't know, early teens, mid teens. Hey, no, we're putting our foot down saying no to this. So you know what I mean, like, it's interesting, man. It's a long way, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know, you know, I don't really know. But they let him do it, and he's killing it, dude. He's in the top 15?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
back to the women. The other one that we kind of thought was going to be like a good story to watch, and I had a little bit of, like, I think she was my sleeper. Oh, I think I had teased this last week of who I thought was going to win. I'm going to go ahead and say it now because, I mean, short of something catastrophic happening to a handful of people in front of her, she's not going to win the women's. I had pretty good money banked on Ashley. I would have really bet a lot of money on Ashley Paulson to pull this win out today.
Thought the same thing.
Just so strong. Like, just her gym and like I really thought I would have put money on her
She had a lot of momentum. She had a ton of momentum going into this race.
So right now, I mean, she is at 183 miles right now, which is absolutely wild to think that, like, homie, you still got just you got like you got 100K to go, basically. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like she's in like sixth place or something for the females. For women.
Yeah.
I thought she was gonna come out swinging at this event.
But, yeah,
you know, 250 miles, man. Anything. I mean, it's hard. Its strategy is so different too. And this is the longest she's ran. I heard him say it on the live stream earlier. Yeah, Badwater is her biggest race, longest race before this, I think. So, you know, it's strategy with sleep, you know, like when to sleep. Mm-hmm. And if you're an elite athlete and you're kind of in the top three, you really got to be careful. Like that's what, there was, two runners. Oh, I think after String being turned around when he got going the wrong way, and him and Bronco Billy were at the same aid station after that.
Both
slept, and Bronco took off like 10 or 15 minutes before String being did. So,
yeah. And like, you and I have actually talked about this on a different podcast, one of our other episodes. And I can't remember what racer, what runner this was that was talking about doing this. But he actually admitted, like, his favorite thing to do is, like, he'll see, like headlamps in front of him, he'll cut his off and run in the dark and kind of sneak up on people. And then when he gets within striking distance, like, bam, hits the light, like, and like blows by people, and he's like, it's a psychological game, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
it's a weird, like, I mean, we will never know this feeling, right? But like, these are like, I mean, what, they're elites, you know what I mean? Like, they're like you know, for us,
competitive, like, drive.
Yeah, like for us, we're like, oh, we want to go experience it. We want to run. Like these guys, like, I want to experience victory.
Like, right. I
experience winning. We're just like, oh, it's all about the journey. These guys, no, it's about that money. It's about that money and that win and like that, you know. And so it's wild. If you go to the live stream right now, Arlen is within like a couple miles. Like he's within like a mile or so.
He's jogging
down that last. Yeah, he's jogging down that last sidewalk right now.
248.5. So yeah, he's like within a mile.
He's right there. So pretty cool to watch him. It just looks effortless. He looks like right now what I look like right now, doing my return to run PT sessions. like the way he's like just kind of like, do. It's what I look like when I'm allowed to jog for 7 minutes. Like, it's like, a little stiff, a little ouchy. So, pretty funny.
Yeah. And one cool thing about the live tracking here, if you can look at the screen I'm sharing, let me blow it up a little bit. They have the state flags next to people. And I think that's kind of cool. Like, I know that Jamil, with his vision for Cocodona, is to kind of make it like UTMB, where, you know, the runners come out of the mountains into towns and, you know, and at UTMB, they always have the country flag next to the runners. And for Cocodona, a lot of the runners are from the United States. So they have the individual state flags, which is really cool. And
I love that's his vision, because I think, like, you know, when you're in Europe, right, and everyone's like, oh, you're from, like, you've not traveled. Like, listen, man, like, for you to go from England to, like, Croatia is like me going from D.C. to, like, Chicago or some crazy shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Where it's not
different
the same.
Scale.
You can hit, like, 5 and 6 countries and explore all this stuff, but like in the U.S., like, we can explore, weirdly enough, there are some weird cultures, you know what I mean? Like, as Midwesterners, you know, you go down to Ohio, you go down to, like Bama, and I got a whole other cultures out there. Even go out to California, the Pacific Northwest, up to New England. So, like, there is, like, you can be traveled and still never really leave the U.S. But, like, I love the fact that he is taking that Euro vision, that Euro style.
Yeah.
And, like, just making it a, like, here's your flags and representing and that pride for your state.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I love, because, like, look at us. Like, I'm over here, like let's go, baby. I got three Buckeyes in the top, you know, like, 20 or whatever. You know, I'm like, hell yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
I agree. And the whole, like, coming into the towns. And Arizona's perfect for that. They have those smaller towns like Jerome and Prescott and all those towns.
Yeah. Even Flagstaff. I mean, like, you know,
yeah. And that the finish is in Flagstaff, which is, like, there's a ton of elite ultra runners that live in Flagstaff. The community is very strong there. I totally dig the whole vision. And one other thing I wanted to say about the amount of people watching on live stream, it usually hovered around 2,000, but when the chase was on that last downhill stretch into Flagstaff, there were 6,000 people watching when Geraldus finished, or close to 6,000 people. So yeah, that's pretty well done. And, you know, so the live stream would go from, they would cut it at night, like, for like 4 or 5 hours. But other than that, it's been going nonstop. I mean, that's really impressive that they can do that. AJW was, I don't know if he was just delirious from being up late or if he had some beers or what, but, like, last night he was just like, he was in a true form, man. Like,
yeah, there it is. Funny. We got a podium finish for Arlen Glick, baby.
Third place. Go Ohio.
Go.
Very nice, Arlen. Congrats. That's cool. Arlen ran a steady race. I will say that.
Yes.
Like, he was just steady the whole time. Like, he was hovering right around third, fourth place. He was running with Versteeg for a while. He just kept a steady race. Oh, there was this cool thing too. Like, his parents surprised him. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and they caught that on the live stream.
Yes.
I know he has a very strong, like, family ties. Like, his sister's always crew for him. And
yeah. Yeah.
So.
I mean this in the nicest way. It's not hard to pick out Arlen's crew either.
Not hard. They're Mennonites, and they have
true.
Dress.
They have the hair thing, like the. I don't want to be disrespectful, but they have, like, the little white hair thing, and, like, the long dresses, the black socks. Like,
although, you know, something else that they all are wearing that's interesting is the Kraft. Kraft is Arlen Glick's sponsor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Kraft, like Kraft macaroni and cheese. Like,
yeah,
Kraft, Kraft.
Listen, you know, Arlen hit it big time when Kraft makes denim dresses for the women. Right, like come up with. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if the Mennonites are allowed. Like, I wonder what the rules are for the women in the dresses. Like, if Kraft's like, hey, here's denim dresses for you. Like, I wonder. You know, I mean, I wonder what the rules are for that. But that would be dope, right?
Like, not too sure. But yeah, very cool. I think.
Oh, they're on. There they are right now. Oh, I guess they don't have to be. I guess they don't have to be because she's in striped dress. But there they are. Like, his wife and his the family's all on video right now on the live stream. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
I love me some Arlen, man. What a good
guy. I mean, he's top-notch dude. I mean, you know, just a good old boy, Ohio, you know. Just
Yeah.
Super nice guy. So it looks like Chad Trumbo had dropped pretty early.
Yeah.
He was the other Ohio runner that we were following. And Liz Canty is, I think Liz was still in it.
Yeah.
Probably not having the race she was hoping for, but anyway, so stay tuned. And, you know, for the women's first place finisher, which, like I said, if nothing goes wrong, looks like it's going to be Mika Tews. She's having a hell of a race.
She's the live feed just updated for me. She's still at mile 227. So,
okay. She's probably at an aid station taking a break.
Yeah.
She's got time to take a break.
She's got some time. I know we've talked about, we keep talking about people beating the course record. What was the course record before this year? Off your head?
That's a good question. And I think it was around 69 hours. Let's see. Course record, Coco Dona 250.
I see a 65. It was 65:39. McKnight last year.
Yep, Michael McKnight. So.
Oh wait! No! Oh wait! No! 20. Wait! What? Hold on. No! 22.
String bean.
Yeah. 59:28. I thought there hadn't been a sub 60 finish up until this year.
There wasn't. I don't know what that. Oh, is that the old course?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was the old course. Because they were saying on the live stream that 69:41, Michael McKnight, was the record.
And that's in 23. That was just last year.
Yeah, so they did a complete change of the course, from my understanding. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, 69 hours was your previous course record on this course.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, like that being said, Mika, you know, she's sitting out there. What's her actual time right now?
She has about 22 miles to go. I don't know. Oh, the clock is at 2 days, 14 hours.
So
48 plus 14.
62 something. So wait, is that 62? Yeah, 62 something. Right? I don't know. That's a lot of math. 62 something.
So 62, you're right. Yeah.
So she has like 7 hours to get. To get
22 miles.
22. I would.
She can do it.
I'd be led to believe she can do that. Because like you and I have discussed this kind of already. That's a net downhill. Kind of from where she has one more big climb, I believe. But then it's downhill. So, and it's 7 hours. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, this person can probably run. I mean, granted, without having 200 plus miles on her legs. I'm assuming like this a person can run a marathon in 3 hours on a bad day. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, she's just got that climb up Eldon. That's going to be the crux of it. But if she's got any legs left after Eldon, it's, you know, 9 miles pretty much downhill, 2,000 feet drop.
Yeah.
We
have best. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying one last thing about Heraldis that we wanted to let everybody know is that he's from Alaska. He's also signed up for 3 more 200 mile plus races this year.
Yeah. So yeah, he's signed up for the Triple Crown, or what would used to be referred to as like the,
Candace's races.
It's Candace's Triple Crown. It's Tahoe Moab. 200, Moab 200, and Bigfoot. And I kind of fallen out of the Candace 200 loop. Like everyone talks about Tahoe, And like you kind of hear people talk about Moab. The one that people have, like I had kind of sort of forgot about, and people just don't talk about enough, is the Bigfoot one.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is the Bigfoot one is the one that no one talks about, and it's the hardest of the three, supposedly. It's
definitely the hardest.
It is. It is a motherfucker. Like, it is. It's crazy.
It's
that downhill.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It is point to point. Yeah.
It's point to point. It's net downhill, but it is.
But it's a ton of climbing, though, I think.
It's still a ton of climbing. You're just like.
Very technical. Yeah,
super technical. It's in
super remote Washington.
Well, is it Washington, Oregon? In my mind, I was thinking Oregon. But yeah, it's remote.
Pretty sure it's Washington.
It's remote PNW. Let's give it that.
That's like, right. That's right.
It is not, I tell you what you're not doing. You're not just like closing your eyes and jogging down a buffed out trail. You will bust your ass. Like that thing is gnarly.
So it starts at Mount St. Helens in the Cascade Range of Washington, and it finishes in Randall, Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Brutal. That race is just insane.
Yeah.
It's
a tough one. 45,563 feet of gain and 46,880 of loss. So it's a net downhill of about 1,300 feet, but that's a lot of climbing.
A lot of climbing. But yeah, anywho, it's hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
I guess I do have this pulled up right here. Because I didn't even think about looking at this. Like, we're looking at, I'm just looking really quickly at Tahoe just to see who else is in Tahoe with him. Now, what is super cool is obviously Herodotus is the number one dude listed on there. And I think you've looked at it already too. You know who the number two person on that Tahoe 200 entry list is?
Oh, yeah. Mika.
Dude, so like Tahoe 200 is gonna be dope this year.
Wow.
And
she's won it before, I believe.
She has three finishes there, yeah. But like you scroll down and like
she won Bigfoot.
Like she's a monster, dude. Like Mika is
third at Cocodona in last year. She won Tahoe 200 in 2022. She won Cloud Splitter in Virginia, Cloud Splitter 100, tough race. She won Bigfoot 200 in 2021. Yeah, she's no stranger to the 200 plus mile distance.
Now, so scrolling real quick down through the Tahoe entry list. I mean, and this is sort of by rank, right?
Yeah.
McKnight is there. So McKnight will be there. So that could be a good race, right? Like can McKnight, you know, get some payback for today.
Right.
But I mean, aside from that, man, like I'm not seeing anyone.
Ooh, Claire Banworth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not seeing really anyone tough. That's really going to give. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know who's a. Unless someone jumps on there and gives him a run for his money, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who's going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's going to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Depending on how well he recovers from Cocodona. But honestly, he looked pretty good. Like,
kind of wild, right?
Yeah. So Tahoe is June 14th. So it's in about 5 weeks. So I guess that's enough time to recover.
All right. I'm looking at Bigfoot. And kind of the same thing. Like there's just, oh my God. McKnight is there also.
Wow.
Oh man.
Interesting.
All right. We got to check one more. I'll let you go to the next thing while I check this last race.
Moab has really been bringing competition lately. I just watched Jeff Peltier, that dude from Canada, makes great trail running videos. I watched his Moab 240 video from last year. Phenomenal video, by the way. Everybody should go check that out. And he got second, and it was cool. I think Versteeg got first.
Dude.
Yeah, hit me.
Moab, McKnight's there also.
Okay, so they're both doing the quad crown or whatever. The quad.
The quad crusher.
They're streaking the across the quad through the gymnasium.
We're all streaking. dude, that's insane. That is okay. Insane.
So we have a lot of good 200 mile action going on this year. 200 plus mile, because some of them are more than 200.
Yeah.
Moab's 240.
Moab, you know, it's kind of funny on that note of the three races, I think Moab would be the one I'd want to do the least.
Why is that?
Of her three, that slippery rock, dusty, that red. I don't know, man.
It could be hot and cold, like extreme hot and extreme cold.
Yeah, I think about like I know Pete, right? Pete Griggs, infinitely better runner than me, right? Like that dude's a really strong dude. And like in my head, every time I think about running up in like that kind of like the high desert kind of area, like I think about when he ran Zion a handful of years ago and like just slit like was going up like up the trail and like because that red sand on that stone is super slick.
Yeah.
Fell and just busted his ass and gashed his knee all up, bruised his quad.
Dude.
And like for me, I'm like that would be and like, oh, by the way, I hate sand. I loathe sand. Yeah. Tahoe is bad enough, like Black Canyon, but Moab, that gritty, like just it'd be miserable. I'd rather get my ass kicked by Bigfoot and just like mumble and grumble for 200 miles, you know, up and down hills, downwardly.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Moab's a race for me either.
Yeah.
I like watching the videos on it, but I don't know if I really had a desire to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We're already 53 minutes in, man.
Holy cow. We only got about
10, 15 minutes to go. I mean, we're not on any time limit, but
turns out there were other races Saturday and Sunday, so we'll talk about those races. Talk about those races real fast, and we got one little piece of news thing, but we'll burn through these two races. We'll talk about the one last little piece of news, and we'll wrap it up. But yeah.
So Miwok 100K, one of the old Ultra Magazine's old school races.
Yeah,
actually two of them. But we'll start with Miwok. Miwok 100K, classic race in the Bay Area here. I run on those trails all the time. Great trails, tough race.
It's young this year.
We got rain Saturday. Like early May, you don't typically see like big rainstorms. It has happened. But it did, it rained hard. 85 people didn't even start Miwok. 117 didn't finish. And 252 did finish. So,
God, dude, like I don't know what the regular DNS and DNF rate is for Miwok. I don't know. I would anecdotally assume that the DNS is not 85, right? Like that.
Oh no, it's a lottery, nuts. Dude. It's a lottery race. Yeah,
so you would never do that. Like it's nuts. I will say it is kind of funny because when I saw this on the sheet to talk about today, I will say I did immediately, and I know it's kind of apples it might be oranges to tangerines. It's not the exact but like when I came out to run muck with you, I was kind of surprised by like how affected people were by the cool drizzly morning that morning. Like, I think it's just a different, like that Bay Area, man, you're just always used to that nice weather. And so when it's pretty crappy, you're like, you're shook to the core.
Yeah.
And like, we did. For us dumb Midwesterners, we're like, oh, look, it's drizzling. Ah, okay, here we go. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. We do get a lot of rain in, you know, January, February.
Yeah.
It usually starts tapering off by March. Usually by muck, it's like, yeah, we got rain and muck this year. But
So it rained, but is it that muddy? Was it just that muddy and bad where the trails were just like unrunnable?
I don't know how the trails were here, but during muck, it did downpour, and the trails were like soupier and muddier than I've ever seen them. So Miwok, I can imagine it was just as bad, if not worse, because let me tell you this. Sean and Ram and I went for a run at Mount Diablo, which is in the East Bay on Saturday. And we started out just before the rain started. And when that rain started, it was like, had to be at least 50 mile an hour winds, dude. Like there was points where we couldn't even stand up straight climbing up Mount Diablo.
That's crazy.
And those winds were so strong. And the rain was just, it was just a cold soaking rain, you know, like where it just gets into your bones and it's just like cold. And, and we only did 13 miles. We were out there a couple hours. I couldn't imagine being out there for 100K, you know, as long as they were. But you know, congrats to 252 people who stuck it out and got it done.
I'm trying to figure out. I'd like to see the course that Miwok kind of goes over, just like to try to like see. I'm assuming that when you've taken me around out there, you've taken me on parts of that course. I'm assuming, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You've been on at least half the trails that course goes.
Does it hit like Muir Woods? Is it like up in that kind of part or no?
It does go up to the Mount Tam area. Okay. It cuts across that ridge. Remember that really that first time you were out here, that really skinny single track, like towards the end of our run on Mount Tam. And it goes on that, and it goes like further north. It's like an out and back section, but there are some trails in the Tennessee Valley area.
And
the Mount Tam area. So
Tennessee Valley is where we took the picture of the red sky, right?
Yes. That's where we did our run. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was Red Sky Day.
Dude, listen. My idea of heaven is just Tennessee Valley trails.
Oh yeah,
I'm like, what are we doing? Like, this is amazing.
I feel stupid lucky that's a 15-minute drive away. Like,
I always tell people, like, if you really wanted to, you could leave your house and like jog to it, and then hit that, and then run back, and like have a nice little like 20-mile run day, probably.
Oh, I've done that several times.
Yeah.
Just run across the bridge, run around the headlands, Tennessee Valley.
I love.
It's great. Miwok, you know, it's a fast course because the downhills are nice and everything, but it's still got 11,500 feet of climb, and it's a 15 and a half hour cutoff for 100K.
Wait, is that Stinson? Does it start at Stinson?
Yes.
Look at me recognizing spots on the map. I'm looking at their little flyover. I'm like, wait a second, I know where. That's Stinson.
It ends in Stinson Beach. Does it start there too? It may.
I think it does. Yes, it does.
Okay.
So it actually goes Stinson, and it looks like it goes reverse muck, and it heads back down toward Tam, over Tam. Down to what would that be? The Marin, and then down to Tennessee, and then doubles back, and then it goes and north.
There's an out and back on the Bolinas Ridge Trail. And then it goes down Matt Davis to finish, which is we finished going down Mount Matt Davis Trail when you were out here.
I like that the out and back that it does, it goes out that ridge, drops down.
I know, that's this cruel and unusual punishment.
There's an aid station. It looks like there's an aid station at the bottom of that. Like, hey, good job.
That's a steep downhill right there too. Yeah.
Hey, how's your quads feel? Okay, great. Now your glutes are gonna be screaming too. Back up at you go.
Right. And then back down. All right.
I gotta try to get into this race, man. I gotta try to get into this.
15 and a half hour cutoff, man. Like I was questioning myself. Like, I don't know, like
15
and a half, yeah. For 100K. I'm like at Black Canyon, I went over that. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, what I was like, Black Canyon, I was like 17, I think I did Black Canyon then. Yeah,
I was like 1540 something.
Oh, wait, maybe if you're 1540, maybe I was a scooch over 16. I was somewhere between 16 and 17. Also, I was feeling really sorry for myself that day. I couldn't stop pooping. Maybe I don't do water crossings and then I'm not going to change my socks. Maybe I also don't do that during this race. You know, crazy ideas.
Yeah, there was three pretty huge rivers that we crossed three times.
Yeah. I'm like,
Strolling Gym was the other old school ultra. 40 mile road race in Tennessee, Rolling Hills, Tennessee. Or actually, I didn't even say the winner of Miwok. Robert Russell won 9 hours, 6 minutes. Lindsay Dwyer, who's a pretty famous name. Known name in the ultra running community. Mm-hmm. 10 hours, 44 minutes, one for the women. Miller Groom won Strolling Gym 40 in 4 hours, 45 minutes. And Caitlin Jones, first for the ladies, 5 hours, 31 minutes.
I know it's a road race. I get it. It's a road race. But 4:45 for a 40-miler, it's just absolutely effing ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's a couple thousand feet of climbing, too. Rolling hills.
And it's Tennessee in the first weekend of May. Like, that can be a sticky son of a – that can be hot and humid, boy. That is blistering. 4:45.
And then really quickly, there was this low-key 50K in Pine, Arizona called the Pine Trail Run. And Jessica's cousin Joe and his wife Deborah ran with a friend of ours who's pretty famous in the Barkley community, Frozen Ed Furtaugh, who's a friend of Joe and Deborah's. And I also befriended him through Joe and Deborah. But, Ed he's in his 70s. And Deborah was running her first 50K at that race. So, and they all finished. So that was cool. I wanted to give a shout out to Joe and Deborah and Frozen Ed. Nice. Last con update. There really hasn't been any update.
Great update, yeah.
Nothing, dude. The last thing I see is May. Oh wait, proof of life. Thanks, Harvey.
Dude, that's what. See, I'm telling you, this is prime recording time. 43 minutes ago. Proof of life. Thanks, Harvey.
Well, I don't see it though.
Well, that was a comment. Harvey Lewis runs 52 minutes ago.
Oh,
this is fucking insane. Laz is self-described LazCon. Had the honor of greeting Laz. So it's Harvey and Laz.
Okay. Oh, I see it. Okay, I got to share this. There they are. Okay. Cincinnati. Oh, he's still in Ohio. Yeah. He was in Athens many days ago. That's not that far from Cincinnati.
Dude. Yeah, dude. I guess that's rough, man. That's rough going.
Did you see how Laz self-described LazCon is? What he said? This is fucking insane.
I may retweet it right now with the account.
All right. Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about was that we've been talking about this Running Up for Air virtual event that Patagonia was going to put on, and it's posted, and it's the RUFA, Running Up for Air, and the virtual event is taking place from June 1st to June 9th, and it's set up as a challenge on Strava, so anybody can sign up. It's free to sign up. You just do as much vert as you can from June 1st through June 9th. There's this whole thing down here about the overview of it. And I'm going to put this link in the show notes, people, so everybody can go to this challenge in Strava. And if you're on Strava, you can sign up for it. It doesn't cost you anything. They do talk about that it is a fundraiser, so if you're inclined, you could raise some funds for however much vert you're going to do. Or like, I don't like asking people for money like that, so I would probably just donate some money myself. But it's for a good cause. It's, goes to, groups that are trying to figure out this the winter pollution problem in Salt Lake City and other places. So it's for a good cause. But I'll put the link in. You can go read about this. The RUFA virtual event put on by Patagonia, set up as a challenge. I've joined the challenge. There are 155,901 people have joined the challenge so far. And there is local organizations and meetups for this as well. There's a link to those in this date. And let's go to this. So there's different cities: Atlanta, Toronto, Pasadena, Boston, Altadena, California, Baltimore, Chicago. So if you see your city on here, you can click on it and see where the meetup is. I don't see any for Ohio, but
we don't need a meetup. We'll just own this shit on our own.
No, honestly, you can just find a hill and run up and down.
if you're north of 70, go to Mo, start getting in. If you're south of 70, get yourself to Sugarloaf and start getting in there. We'll go. That's what we'll do. We'll just rack up our miles on one of those two.
Yeah,
those two spots.
Say Sugarloaf. From the sounds of it, that's some good vert.
Dude, we will sidebar this and talk about Sugarloaf. It is
okay.
Yeah, son of a bitch. I think it's gnarly.
Let's talk about that when we get closer to the event, June 1st. And also, I want to let everybody know that I started a club on Strava for our listeners, the Ultra Running News Network Club. I will invite people that I'm friends with. But if you're not friends with me on Strava, then you can search for the Ultra Running News Network Club and join up. You can hit me up with a follow too, if you want, Jamie Farley. And so looks like we have a couple of people already. Mr. Pete Griggs, Miss Catherine Wells.
Yeah.
And Troy Windsor, he's a friend in Oakland, ultra runner, great guy. So hit us up on the Ultra Running News Network Strava Club. Sweet. And I'm also going to add, or I did add, a club event or not a club event. I added my own challenge. So if you're friends, we can do the Vert challenge just to keep track of our listeners and everything from that same time as the virtual event. But more on that, we'll talk about this more when in the next couple of weeks. But I just wanted to get everybody, get the stage set for the Rufa virtual event. See how much Vert everybody can do. I still haven't picked out my hill yet. But
you got some options.
Yeah, I'm thinking Mount Tam. I'm thinking Mount Tam. But I don't know yet. I don't know yet. We'll see. Okay. Next up. Hard Rock qualifiers. Okay, I wanted to make sure we get this story in. Hard Rock is phasing out Grindstone. Not sure why. There may be some speculation, but I'm sure that anybody in the Hard Rock organization would say that, you know, they're just replacing it with Hellbender, which they are replacing it with Hellbender, which is a much harder race than Grindstone. Grindstone this year is still a Hard Rock qualifier, but after this year, it's not. And starting this year, Hellbender, which I think Hellbender is like next week or in 2 weeks.
It's coming up, I feel like, yeah.
That's in Asheville, North Carolina. Very tough race.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mount Fuji was a Hard Rock qualifier, but going forward, they're not going to be a qualifier anymore. This was the last year that they're a qualifier. Actually, I don't know if this year even, yeah, this year counts for 2025 Hard Rock, but
yeah,
not 2026. So, and then they added two international races, which I couldn't find the posting on which ones were added. So I'm not really sure, but, the international ones are in the beige there. I think it's, I don't know. Two international races were added. Anyway, the big story for the American folks listening is that Grindstone being replaced with Hellbender. At least they're keeping it out a race on the East Coast. Glad to hear that. Okay. Let's see. It's already past time. Let's just run through these real quick. Two things. One, MK Sullivan, who got the golden ticket at Canyons, one of the two golden tickets for the females, passed on her golden ticket. So it's going down to the fourth place female. Because if you remember, first place was Katie Scheid, who already had an entry into Western States because she was second last year. She had top 10. But MK, I think, got second. And, yeah, she's foregoing the golden ticket because she said that she knows she's capable of getting it and she knows she could have did better. But she also knows that 8 weeks is not that long of a time to train for her first 100 miler. She has some FOMO. She'll have some FOMO on race day, but she's not ready to emotionally endure the next 60K beyond the 100K. So kudos to her. Yeah, kudos to her for making that decision and not just running it just to do it. You know, somebody else will get a chance. It's being offered to the fourth place person, female Kareth Arnold. I'm not sure if that was accepted or not. And there was a lot of comments saying that Canyons is shouldn't be a golden ticket race because it's too close to Western States. I disagree with that because to me, a lot of people that are running Western States use Canyons 100K as a training run.
Yeah, wait, they're saying too close, like, too close in what way? Geographically, too close is like,
in time.
Like, oh.
Like not enough time to recover. But that's ridiculous because it's literally 8 weeks out.
Yeah.
People use it for a training run, and it's on the Western States course. So
it's been a while since I've looked, and like I have it right here. As a matter of fact, I mean, as we all know, the Bible of ultra running.
That's right.
I mean,
Ryan Powell.
Yeah. I mean, when you're doing a 100-mile training plan, doesn't it call for like a 50-miler?
A 50-miler, like, yeah.
Yeah, just a handful of weeks out. So.
Right.
I mean, what's 100K, right? Like.
Yeah. No.
Yeah,
I disagree 19. With those comments.
Yeah. That's wild. That's a weird. Yeah. I disagree.
And too. There's, you know, like Adam Peterman won Canyon's 100K to get his golden ticket 2 years ago, and he went on to win Western States that same year. So I mean, I don't buy it. Anyway, so the gold ticket was turned down. And the last story of the night, a very cool story. This guy, Bo Palander, was the first person over the age of 80, first person over the age of 80 to cover 100 miles in 24 hours. At the Swedish 24-hour championship. So, again, aspirations, man. Like, to be 80 and run 100 miles, period, in any amount of time is just awesome. Beyond my wildest dreams to be able to do that when I'm 80, let alone this guy laying down a sub-24-hour 100.
I'm just trying to do a 100-miler while I'm 47. Let alone, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Damn, like I'm just trying to get myself back to that. Like it's nuts. Yeah,
and there he is. Looks like he's chugging a beer.
Looks as happy as can be, man.
Yeah, there he is carrying his country flag. Super cool. Congrats to Bo Palander. Just an inspiration to us all.
For sure.
All right. Well, we can save other stuff for future episodes. It's been fun talking about Cocodona. It's like, what a great race. The live streams are at a whole new level now. And they've been talking on the live stream about all the other live streams that they're doing this year. Cause they're really expanding beyond their own races. They're doing Ouray, they're, you know, Western States. They're doing all these different races. So, it's an exciting time in ultra running.
And listen, like you and I must be getting into a little bit of a disruptor kind of thing because, you know, sounds like we were a little bit of a threat. It sounds like, and there's people resurrecting stuff. They're like, yo, this Rutherford and Farley, it's John and Farley out here with this Ultra Running News Network. Like they're disruptors. We got to get back in the game. So, I mean, I'm not saying that we caused it, but I'm just saying pretty coincidental. You know what I mean? Like,
there's another news story that hasn't, or a news ultra running news show that hasn't been on for quite some time now. Yeah. And you know what? In all fairness, it's a great news show, and
it's really cool. It's really well done.
It was part of my inspiration for starting. Yeah. You know, starting this with you is that new show wasn't on anymore. And I'm like, that was such a great thing, you know?
And there's enough room for everybody, right? Like, I mean, there's enough pie and cake to go around for everybody. So if it gets resurrected, kudos. I mean, who knows? Like maybe he reaches out and like, yo, Farley, Rutherford, like, let's go. Let's team up. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, slide me a couple, you know, see that contract, but we can talk.
That's right.
If
some FU money's offered, you know. That brings up one more thing, and I know we're way over, so if you're still listening,
kudos if you're still here. Like this is a long run here.
I just want to go where we're at with our podcast our podcast competition on downloads. So Washington was in the early lead for May, and then they got overtaken by Oregon. And Ohio, I couldn't figure out why they were lagging behind, but they stepped it up in the last couple of days. And Ohio's in the lead with 14 downloads for May, Oregon with 12, Washington with 10. So Pacific Northwest is showing up strong. And then we have California with 4, Colorado 3, North Carolina 2, New York 2, Virginia 2, Florida 1, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, Tennessee, Texas, all with 1. So
listen,
it's a close race. Just like Cocodona.
Us Ohioans, we understand it's not about that training run you did in the first week. It's about how you ended the race. So
it's like Geraldus.
Yeah, we're not worried about Oregon and Washington jumping out. But like, oh, look at us. We did this amazing training run. Like, no, like that's cool. We're going to show you how to run the race now. I got that stamina, and we'll finish it out strong. So
Johnny's shooting his shot here. Yeah, come on, other states. Come on,
let's go,
Oregon, Washington. Tell your friends. Let's go. California, where are you at? I live in California. Come on, peeps.
You got to talk it up a little bit more when you're out there cruising around them buffed out trails.
That's right. That's right. Let's go. All right. Cool. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Do you have anything else, Johnny?
I don't. Been a great episode. I love the live races when they're going on. So, we'll be able to next week when we hop on, we'll definitely be able to talk about Mika and her finish and how strong it was, but we'll have to wait until next week for that.
That's right. All right. Peace out, everyone.
Cool. Have a good one.